I feel very full, full up to here. And the retreat is not over yet. So we're just going to go into a time of afterglow. And there's so many people here that have not been either to one of our retreats or maybe, and I know we've got people that have never been to a retreat. So I just want to share just very shortly, because I don't want to take up our time, but I want to share a little bit about what afterglow is. And if you've been coming to our retreats for very long, we always have some kind of teaching during this time, short and sweet. But, you know, Pastor Rick has been going through the book of John. We figured out 2.5 years he's been going. Our home fellowship is like, we just finished John. But one verse in chapter 16 stood out to me, and I've been pondering it since chapter 16. Like, how long ago was that? I don't know. But Jesus says, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And obviously, Jesus coming to earth, living a perfect life and dying on the cross made a way for eternal life. But we've benefited from Jesus going away because we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. He's at work in our lives, changing and transforming us, giving us understanding of God's word, teaching us, making God's love real to us. Romans 5:5 says, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. He's the one that makes God's love real to us. You know, all of a sudden, sometimes we just know. We know that we know that we are loved, and that's the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:12 says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. So not only has he come to dwell in us, when we accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, whenever that moment was in your life, he came to dwell in you. And I think when he came in, he says, oh, I love this house, but boy, is it a mess. I got to start cleaning it. And he does. Almost immediately, he starts working in our lives and cleaning and getting rid of things and stuff. But he also wants to come upon us. And there's two different prepositional words that in John, after he was raised from the dead, I'm sorry, that means... after his resurrection in John 20, he breathed on his disciples and they received the Holy Spirit in them. Am I doing this?
No, it's not you.
Okay, sorry.
On.
I'll do my best.
I turned
on.
Okay. No, is it on? Go ahead.
Okay. Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes.
I'll go back. In John 20, after Jesus was resurrected and he met with his disciples, he breathed on them and the Holy Spirit came in them. And that was basically a salvation experience, I think. But then he said, wait, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. And he poured out his Holy Spirit on believers in Jerusalem, enabling them to fulfill his command to preach the gospel to the entire world. And Acts describes this in Acts 1:8 as receiving power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The same word translated as power is used in Ephesians 3 when Paul prays that we would be strengthened with might in the inner man, by his spirit in the inner man. We need the Holy Spirit empowering us to walk, to face those challenges in our journey, to walk sure-footedly, to stand firm in the midst of trial and temptation, to not waver in the winds of adversity and change. I looked at YouTube and some videos of people in high winds, and if you want to laugh, it's kind of funny. If you look on YouTube, just high winds or whatever, they're trying to walk, they're trying to maybe report on something, and the winds are blowing. And the people that who were able to stand in those high winds or even move forward needed to be strong enough to hold on to something solid, or they were wise enough to get down as close to the ground as they could to the solid foundation below and inch forward that way. And I was thinking about how the Holy Spirit gives us strength to hold fast to the solid truth of His Word, to cling to the solid foundation of the rock on which we stand. So how do we get the Holy Spirit to fall upon us? And as everything is with God, to me, He's made it easy. He doesn't require us to climb a hill and run around three times. And there's people that would do something in their flesh if they could do it. But he, all He asks us is that we ask. We ask for the Holy Spirit to fill us, and we continue to ask for Him to fill us. Jesus said in Luke 11, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does your Heavenly Father want to give the Holy Spirit to you, to those who ask Him? Tonight, you might be in a place where I was, 20 years ago, I was like, Holy Spirit, I don't know who you are. Show me who you are. Or you may be at the place where you want God to baptize you and fill you to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. And this time of afterglow is a time when you can do that. The Holy Spirit gives us power to live the Christian life. He helps us grow. He gives us encouragement and comfort. He gives us His gifts. And that's another thing that happens during the afterglow. Carol's been ministering to us with her wonderful gift of teaching and encouragement. But during an afterglow, God uses His people to minister to His people. He gives you gifts, and those gifts are to minister to the body. 1 Corinthians tells us that we should desire spiritual gifts because He wants to use those in the body of Christ. And they're listed. You can go back and read them. We're not doing a teaching on spiritual gifts, but you might have a gift of encouragement or discernment or a word of knowledge or teaching. There's just a lot of gifts listed, and we all don't have the same gift. God uses these gifts in our lives to benefit the body of Christ, not to lift you up and make you more special than anyone else. So during the afterglow service, we're waiting on the Lord to see and experience His glory in the ministry of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We set aside this afterglow time as a time of worship and ministry to the body of Christ. Where two or more gathered in His name, He says He's in the midst of us. And we've already seen that so many times today. He's among us tonight, and He wants to minister to His women. It would be phenomenal if Jesus was here in person. He'd probably be sitting right next to me and not next to you. No. That's why the Holy Spirit came, so He could be with each one of us individually. Jesus would have to, He'd have to move real quickly between us. Afterglow is a time when we're going to pray that God will speak to us individually. Possibly in that still, small voice in our hearts while we're quiet and worshiping Him, or maybe through some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit as people feel led to share them. He may want to use you to encourage us as a group or speak a word that will minister to one lady somewhere in here. Maybe God will just quicken a scripture to you, and you need to share it. You need to be bold and share it out loud so it can minister to hearts. He may give you a word of knowledge or wisdom, and he may give you a gift of healing. That would be nice, wouldn't it? He may lead you to pray. I learned so much about the Holy Spirit in settings just like these. We see God, the Holy Spirit, move in His women. We hear how He uses other women, and maybe you'll just, this is new to you, and you'll just be quiet and just allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you and to just, it's just, to me, when I'm sitting out there, not when I'm sitting over here, but when I'm sitting out there, it's like a time of rest. You know, I'm just resting and hearing, just allowing the Holy Spirit to speak, to just listen to Him, to allow Him to love me, to show God's love to me. So here's how it's going to go, as much as I can tell you, and the Holy Spirit surely has control, but we're going to start with some worship, and we want to watch the time, because I know, you know, some of us like to get to bed at a decent hour, but we're going to start with some times of worship to be quiet before the Lord, and there'll be a couple of us up here, but then we'll ask Lydia to either play quietly or she'll just stop. And if you feel God putting something on your heart to share, that's a good time to share it, okay? Something? No, okay. Then when that time will kind of go back and forth into worship and a time of ministry, and then we'll, at some point, we'll ask the prayer circles to take their places, and there's going to be some women in different places here to pray for you personally if you feel like you still need it. It may be that your needs will be met in the group as God ministers through His women, but if you need prayer, you can go to one of those groups during that time, and we'll continue praying. And I'm hoping we'll end right around 10. That's what we're aiming for. Or at least allow those who need to leave by 10. And let's see what God's going to do. Let's open in prayer. Lord, we're just so full of what You've spoken to our hearts today. How much we desire to be women of God, strong women of God that are making a difference in this world. How much we want You to surrender to You, to be used by You. And Lord, I just pray for this time, Lord, that You would just be among us, that no one would leave here not having known that they've been in Your presence, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.